Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Because I do think we need a lot more of For Us, By Us to heal us, you know, and that's basically the cause and the movement that I've learned from the company. I've really taken that piece of being that voice and trying to figure out how do we heal our people, because some of us don't even know we sick, child. They just out here doing whatever.
Guys, well, if you have a fuck you, don't get fired. Send them to us here at blackatworkpod@gmail.com. Or, you know, now you can also go on our website, blackatworkpod.com, and submit them through anonymously through the submission forms. So our first fuck you, or we only have one, I'm sorry, but our fuck you is from Kiana. Hey, Kiana. She says, so something needs to be said about the countless number of jobs that expect us to be quiet through this time. We have faced an insurmountable amount of oppression, and we shouldn't be required or expected to remain quiet anymore. Super tired of sitting on meetings where I'm the only Black person on the call, and there is this huge elephant in the room. The manager who hosted a staff meeting I was on this morning semi brought up everything that was going on in the world for 2.2 seconds, then changed the subject so fast. It's not that he was mentioning the actual issue to shed light on it, but you get it. Is it that difficult for white people to openly talk about racism, or is it truly a taboo in white society to even bring it up? I'm really asking this question. Please chime in. Or do some white people just not see it? My coworkers have been visibly uncomfortable on meetings the past week, and I've pretty much just stayed quiet. My mind is tired of thinking, and I'm not sure I really know how to process much of what is going on. I'm feeling quite drained watching the news, and I'll be honest, my productivity this past week for sure has been nothing short of barely making it. Barely sleeping, overthinking, anxiety, and still smiling through the phone every morning when I'm required to talk. I'm not okay. Are you?
Wow. She said a lot there. And I put out a poll earlier this week on our website. I'm sorry, not our website. On our Instagram, asking everyone if their employer has said anything about what's going on or mentioned it or put out any releases. And 75% of you guys said no, which I was surprised, because all you see on social media are these companies, you know, now proudly saying Black Lives Matter. It took y'all 6 years, but okay. And so it's just surprising to me that a lot of these companies are feeling this way. And I honestly saw a bunch of posts kind of like this week, where it was a lot of companies that were being insensitive or not even saying anything about what was going on.
I've seen a lot of companies come out, and actually this past week, we've seen a lot of people just, you know, a lot of white people coming out the woodworks, you know, trying to express their sympathy. But our job, they sent us an email. They've been having seminars and just saying that, you know, they're not about to take racism, basically. And that they need to do better with, or I guess not do better, but they, to me, do better with, you know, diversity and inclusion. Because, I mean, let's be honest, they weren't talking about it before.
Right.
So, and then also my mom, I actually witnessed her working from home yesterday, and her HR person called her directly to ask her, with everything that's going on, how do you feel? And, you know, she basically told them everything. And she said that her HR person was like, you know, we don't know how you guys feel. I have a different outlook on that. But I mean, at least they calling, and, you know, I feel like the protesting and the burning shit down is, you know, making people wake the fuck up and actually take us kind of seriously now.
It's so funny that you said that. And I have a short little segue on that. But I've noticed, have you noticed that white people are being extra nice in public now?
No.
No, you haven't? Okay. So I was in Oklahoma this past weekend. I was driving through Oklahoma to get back to Dallas. We stopped at this gas station stop. Now, nobody had on a mask but the black people there, and all the black people there was with me. But they were like extra, extra, extra friendly. And of course, I had on my Nina Simone shirt, like mood, fuck y'all. And they're like, hi, hi, how you doing? So I just thought that was, I thought that was funny that you said that, but it's actually kind of dope that your job, your mom's job called her personally. You never hear stuff like that. So, I mean, in light of everything going on, at least we have some companies at least acting like they give a fuck. My current job and my former job both did something. My last job just straight put out hashtag Black Lives Matter. Like, we're not putting up with it. So it feels good, I feel like, as a virtual activist myself, to see all of these people showing support. But I fear that it's becoming a trendy thing versus y'all really showing support for us, because y'all little black squares didn't really do shit for real. Y'all know that shit.
Right. And that's funny that you say that, you know, it's becoming a trend. I feel like a lot of the big companies that are coming out, I mean, I don't know, you know, a lot of when they have like publicists or they have media relations or public relations for these companies, you know, they're doing what they think the people are going to want them to do so that we can continue to consume things, or so, you know, they don't get a lot of backlash. But to answer your question, Kiana, about are we okay? Because you said you're not okay with working. You know, I've been at work and I feel the same way, because the people on the low level people, not low level people, but the people that you work with on a day to day basis and that you interact with, they're not saying anything about it. You know, you have to get on these meetings and talk to people. You're on meetings with 8 to 10 people and nobody's saying anything. And we have to continue to go about our normal ass day acting like nothing is happening. So yes, it's great that on one side, the HR people are reaching out to us and saying, you know, how are you feeling? But at the same time, it would also feel a little, I don't know if they would, you know, the people that we get on meetings with would say, you know, like, dang, there's a lot going on. Is everybody okay? Because I'm, like you said, I'm Kiana as well, the only black person on my team. So I feel it too. I ain't doing shit, no way. But if I was doing shit, I probably would be feeling like you. And, you know, probably my productivity would slow down. So, but yeah, girl, you're not the only one. And I'm sure everybody in the world right now that has to work is going through it.
Yeah. So you remember our guest from the Great White Lies episode?
Yep.
Elijah. So he commented and said, I had to send an email to my company explaining how this may be affecting their black employees and our mental health. I didn't get a response until super late, and it had PR written all over it. The next day, we finally got a company-wide email, but it's a forward from one of our investors, and it has no action items on it. I was extremely disappointed, as they make it seem like they look out for everyone, but nothing has even been suggested by management. It's just business as usual. I took it upon myself to create a chat with all the black people in my company, and we have an all-black meeting tomorrow to talk about what happens next. What makes it worse is my white manager was CC'd on my email, and she hasn't said a word, not a one. Only one person has checked up on me, but they were minority and not management. It seems as if they're all just waiting for this to go away, and I know that's exactly what they mean. You know what? Let's go ahead and get into the water cooler. Protests for justice in the case for George Floyd have continued throughout the week and around the world in 13 countries and in all 50 states. We the people. That's right. We the people have called for the arrest of all three cops involved in the murder of George Floyd. K-pop stans went hard on Twitter. Those are the kids that love Korean pop music, by the way. Bitch, the witches came out, the Amish hoe, anonymous, hella businesses, celebrities. I saw a nigga in a Spider-Man costume. Nigga, everybody came out, and we had that bitch in the White House and the army against us. So shout out to y'all for at least getting these cops arrested. They have officially charged them with second degree murder, I believe, which, you know, I have my own opinion on that. I believe it's a chess move because second degree murder is harder to convict. They're going to say that he didn't intentionally mean kill him, and then we'll be back in the same cycle. But that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I'm hoping that with everybody's been protesting in all 50 states, like you said, like everybody, even in other countries, everybody has been protesting. And people haven't, you know, usually it, I feel a little bit better because usually, you know, we would see people protesting for like a day or two and then it would die down. But now you see, I mean, they ain't stopping. Like they going every day, they going hard. It's like you feel, I don't know if it's just me, but it's like you feel a shift kind of like moving, like stuff is like we ain't taking no more. Like we done, we over it. Like y'all about to do what we need y'all to do.
Exactly. And I'm hoping that it's a positive shift. I feel like our fight has been so long. I posted something on our Instagram earlier this week about the Black Holocaust, where we spent 400 years in slavery. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was like we had slavery, then Jim Crow, then mass incarceration, and now we're living with police brutality from 1965 till now. So it's just like one fucking thing after another, like my people suffer. We suffer a lot in this country. And it's a shame because when we speak up on the suffering, we're told, go back to Africa then. No, bitch, we built this country. We built this country. If anything, y'all should be paying for us and our intelligence. Hello. For us to be here because y'all brought us here. It's called reparations, but y'all want to give that to everybody else. But that's a whole... Girl,
and on top of that, to go back, piggyback on what you're saying, we didn't choose to come over here, okay? Y'all snatched us from our motherland while we was over there with buckets of water, whatever we was doing on our heads or whatever we was trying to go get our water, feed our kids, whatever we was doing over there back then. Like, we was minding our businesses and y'all came over and snatched us up and put us on the slave boat. God damn it. So don't tell me to go back when you snatched me and took me over here without my own will.
You stupid. Talking about baskets on our heads with water. Nigga, you watch too much National Geographic.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Well, first, I want to say happy Pride Month to all our LGBTQIA+ brothers and sisters. There is no Black liberation without Black LGBTQIA+ liberation. Now is a good time to point out that their Black lives matter as well. So rest in peace to Aaliyah Johnson, Monica Diamond, Nina Pop, and Tony McDade, all Black trans people murdered as well during this exact time as all this George Floyd stuff is going on. You don't hear about them. Let's say their names too. If your activism doesn't include members of this group, then it isn't real activism. We don't get to choose which Black people are worthy enough to fight for. We're all in this together.
Yeah, I agree. If you Black, you Black. It don't matter if you, you know, LGBTQ and all the other... Dana already said it because I don't know all of the acronyms. If you Black, you Black. Like, we shouldn't be discriminated against what type of Black. I mean, I don't even know why that even matters. So we should be standing up for it. If you Black, we all in this together. Okay, so.
Amen. So anyway. The pressure from the people also worked in the case for Breonna Taylor. As you guys know, she was the young 26-year-old EMT from Louisville that was gunned down by Louisville Murders and a no-knock warrant, and they had the wrong motherfuckers. Well, her murderers are still employed by Louisville PD. They have not been charged for shit. But several people and celebrities have been calling for the arrests of her murderers. The local FBI in Kentucky picked up the case, and Breonna's her family filed a wrongful death lawsuit. And the Louisville Metropolitan Police Department announced the other day that they will now change the department in how they carry out search warrants in response to Breonna's death. They're calling it the Breonna's Law. And it's an advance that was organized by Keturah Haran and the Black Lives Matter Division of Louisville. I don't know why I have a hard time saying Louisville, but the Black Lives Matter Division of Louisville. So good job, guys.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's sad that, you know, Breonna had to die in order for that law to be created. And happy birthday, Breonna. I know she would have been 27.
Yes, her birthday was yesterday.
It's just sad to me that, why are they still employed? I'm confused.
So confused. Like, it makes no sense. And then to know that you did that, to know that you did that to a young girl who was asleep in her bed and she died innocently, and you getting up and going to work every day, Monica?
You getting up and going to work every day. You getting up, making your lunch, kissing your wife, kissing your kids. You probably got a 27-year-old daughter somewhere. Like, and the sad thing is, if none of this was happening, they wouldn't even be saying shit about it. They wouldn't even be, them people would still be going to work and not being able to be, you know, being held accountable, possibly.
Well, I think, like you said, there's been a shift, and I'm hoping that the mounting pressure will force them to reconsider charging these murderers, essentially, with killing her. They've also call for the opening of the Kendrick Johnson case, which was that young boy who was found murdered at the University of Georgia. Years and years ago, he was found dead, wrapped up in a mat, talking about he committed suicide. They're calling for all different types of cases to be, I can't even think right now because there's so many names we have to say.
Yeah.
But they're calling for all different types of cases to be reopened and examined. And guys, it's tough. But we're getting shit done. Like, everybody that's in this with us, we're getting shit done. And I mean, I'm trying to be optimistic. In this hellish country, I'm trying to be optimistic. But, you know, we did our thing as far as the protest. And you know what's funny? Oh, my goodness. My sister, you know, her crazy ass, she went down to the protest that was downtown Dallas. And she gonna call me talking about, girl, it's all white people down. She said it wasn't hardly no blacks. And you know what? Honestly, all the little videos that they've been posting on Twitter of like the little protest in March, yeah, it's looking real. It's looking real, I don't know, Lil Wayne concert-ish out there.
Girl, look, if you can beat to our music, then you need to be out there protesting for us. Like, it says more when you're out there helping us do it. Because if we just out there, they ain't going to listen to us.
Right. And also, we're not your audience either. All these passionate speeches that went viral on TikTok and all this stuff, that sounds real good. But y'all need to be telling that to y'all racist-ass grandmas, y'all uncles, the people that y'all know and associate with. Y'all need to be having these conversations with those people. We already know y'all racist. We already know y'all people are racist. You need to be telling your people not to be racist.
Come on. You right. That's it. Preach.
All right. So now many celebs and politicians are calling for the United States to defund the police. I don't know if you've heard about that, but and I know a lot of motherfuckers think, oh, yeah, bitch, defund the police. They don't need no money. But what the movement really is calling for is money to be taken away from law enforcement and be reinvested in services like housing, employment, community health, education, and other vital programs. So far, the cost of policing in the U.S. has tripled, and it's now $115 billion a year. So what you think about defunding, Nessa? Defund 12.
Right. I was about to say fuck 12. Get out. Defund 12. They don't need nothing. I mean, do that. I'm over the police. I really am. Like, anything that does that help them to stop killing us if they defund?
Right.
I mean, I'm asking, do you know?
If it's going to help them stop killing us, I say defund.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If it's going to help y'all to stop killing us, then yeah, defund them then.
I mean, so they want the money to be shifted into more, I guess, preventative programs to stop people from having opportunities to commit crime. So therefore, we won't need more policing. It's kind of like the New Zealand model. So I don't know. It works over there. You know, their crime rate is low. So I don't know. But I feel like there's so much racism, historic racism, in this country. Even if we did take that route and try to be like Switzerland or other countries that don't have bad policing problems, I don't know if that'll be something that'll be smoothed over too easy because of the past tensions and the past issues that we've had in this country. Like I said, we're literally in a Black Holocaust. Can you imagine? We have great grandparents who lived their whole lives as slaves. Mm-hmm. Like, can you imagine waking up every day knowing you have to go to your work, knowing you're not getting paid and you're going to die doing that? How insane is that? And y'all tell us we don't deserve reparations. But why do I keep going to this reparation? Do I need to run for office?
Yes, come on, Dana 2020. Or yeah, Dana 2021, actually. Hell, you'll be a way better job than Trump, child.
Girl, speaking of y'all's pick, not my motherfucking pick, but y'all's pick, Joe Biden finally clinched the Democratic nomination by passing the required 1,991 delegates needed.
Why don't you like Biden, friend? What is Biden's issue?
What? You are so lucky this segment is short because...
I was about to say, can you break it down to like a sentence?
My basic sentence on him is he is more of the same basic white man politician. There's nothing that's going to drastically change with him in office. And I feel like his nomination is just a win for Trump because at the end of the day, they're going to look at the two individuals and not choose him. Like, you're not going to get the people that supported Elizabeth Warren. You're not going to get the people that support, especially not them crazy motherfuckers that supported Bernie. So it's like, I feel like there's going to be a lot more people staying home at the polls this year. I pray to God I'm wrong. I pray I come on here and be like, "Ooh, y'all, I'm embarrassed, but y'all, y'all proved me wrong." But I just think that that's gonna piss more people off, and people are just gonna be like, "Fuck it, I'm not gonna vote," because they think or they see or feel like their voices don't or have not counted. I mean, let's just look at the last 4 years. We've had really, really big pushes for change when it came to having more left-leaning Democrats with more, you know, socialistic Jesus Christ views. However, those people don't get to where they're going. So it's like, there's hope lost. I'm still voting. I'm voting for that bitch because I ain't voting for Trump. And that's that on that with me.
Yeah. I mean, if y'all, I hope you're wrong too, Dana. I hope people get out. We cannot do another 4 years of this. Like, we really can't. And for sure, we know at the minimum, Joe Biden ain't going to get up here and act like the asshole that Trump has acted like. He ain't about to get up here and just talking about the blacks and, you know, what do you guys have to lose? You know, he ain't gonna be saying all that. At least he'll be covering it up. I don't know. Like, anything is better than Trump. So y'all, please get out here and vote for Biden. Cause that's about all we got.
Nigga, that's all we got. DJ Khaled. No, wait. Is that even his slogan?
No, it's not. But you smart. You know it. You're important. Y'all get out there and vote.
And finally, guys, Bloomberg Opinion posted an op-ed about the ongoing public debate about whether the coronavirus has mutated into a weaker form, making it less deadly. So if you want to read more about that opinion, heavy emphasis on opinion, because I don't do conspiracy theories over here, boo. It's on Bloomberg.com. But basically, they're saying that we should be more optimistic that the virus will be less deadly the more that it spreads.
Well, you know, now I'm just like, did y'all get us all riled up and Y'all made us stay home for half of the year. We only got half of the year left. We already in the 6 months of the year. So we half of the way. We about to be in 2021. Now y'all talking about it ain't as deadly. Like, dang.
I was supposed to go to Cabo in May.
Right.
Looking ass.
Like, for real. But I mean, that's good. I mean, like you said, it is opinion, but it's so weird because, girl, I was just out and I went to the store and we went to see Tawan's aunt. And I'm just like, everybody is at the beach or the man-made beach. It's Lake Louisville. When I say the lines are, the car line to get up in that bitch is like lit.
First of all, people of Dallas, that ain't even a real ass beach while y'all out there trying to swim. It's filled with rocks.
Girl, look, they got sand, they got their boats, and ain't nobody got on no mask. So I'm so confused. And then I hear people going out and getting their nails done. They're getting, I mean, people are out. America said, look, I'm tired of being at home. So I'm getting out regardless if I get the cough or not. Okay.
Girl, you know what? I still haven't lit up on my cleansing requirements, but I have been a little bit more lax than leaving the house.
Yeah.
I do see y'all crazy folks out there at the pool, you know, do your thing. But hey, chlorine is bleach, right? It kills.
Yeah.
I guess I ain't getting in anyway. So.
I ain't either. Look, I'm like, if y'all can go out, I mean, everybody's out. So just wear your mask, wear your gloves. Use your hand sanitizer. And, you know, I'm starting to think that, you know, they were saying that mostly Black people were getting it. Were mostly Black people getting it, though?
I don't know. I don't have scientific facts and data to back that up.
I don't know how true that is, but I want Bloomberg opinion. Come back out with that, okay?
Well, we'll be back in a couple of months telling y'all niggas y'all should have stayed inside. All right, y'all, that's it for the water cooler. All right, guys. So today for our down to business segment, we have one of my very, very good friends. Y'all know when I bring my friends on here, we've been friends for umpteen years. How many years has it been, Angel?
Girl, dang, when you think about it, it make you think like it's been like hell, let's go.
15?
Yeah.
Wow.
2008? Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah. So my first time ever meeting Angel, who actually, if you guys remember, I shouted her out on a previous show. She is a licensed social worker from Atlanta by way of St. Louis. Miss Angel Robinson, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Angel is particularly special to me because she's not only my friend, but she's also a sister of mine. We are very close, have very, very deep connected soul ties, if you will. And I actually met Angel at work at the very first job that I had where I experienced microaggressions and racism. So my first time ever experiencing this was alongside her. So we got some stories, right?
For days. Weeks.
Four days. So, Angel, actually, I don't even know where to start with the company. We're just going to call it the company, but it was the first job that I ever had. And I'll just let you guys know, it was a therapy agency for mm-hmm. sexually abused children. And Angel and I were receptionists. Mm-hmm. So we worked a lot with the children when they came. We played with them while they waited on their appointment and everything. We were us two and the other receptionist who was Black mm-hmm. were the only Black people there. All the therapists were white. The director was white. And a good 98%, if not 99% of their clientele was Black. So if you can imagine how screwed up that was, like crazy.
Wow. So there was one Black therapist. It was a woman.
Oh, girl, she was
so short-lived.
Yeah, she was such an Oreo. I forgot about her.
Listen, she was so short-lived that, yeah, it was just a second piece of wind.
And she was probably only hired just so they can say, oh, yeah, we have Black people that work here. But she was so whitewashed. She shouldn't have been there.
Yeah. I didn't really understand her position at first. I follow her still, like, on social media. I think now, especially with the season that's going on, I kind of see the Blackness coming out. But, I mean, I kind of feel like this is a time where you can't hide it. Like, you are who you are. You're going to have to own it. You know what I mean? So, definitely, being at the company, I was doing a work-study position there as a receptionist, as you were saying. I thought that it would be a great opportunity just because it kind of correlated with what I was going to school for. And it was all good to a certain extent, but I remember, like, working with the other receptionist. She was a very interesting person herself, but one thing I can say about sis was that she definitely was woke.
Very much so.
She actually introduced me to waking up myself, actually. So I'm forever indebted to her because she linked me to some really great resources and kind of like helped me answer a lot of questions that I was having in regards to, well, who am I, and kind of filling in some of those cultural, you know, questions or journey or whatever. But needless to say, I would always try to figure out, like, why she always had such a hard time at the job, because for me, I didn't really look at it that way. I went to high school at a predominantly white school. And so I was just like, oh, no, I think you're taking it the wrong way. You know, it's not like that. It wasn't until I started going natural that I really realized, I'm like, I'm just trying to do my NDIRE. Like, I'm not my hair. I'm like vibing, like living on me. And I just realized the whole concept just shifted so drastically. It was like mind-boggling.
And this is when I first witnessed it through Angel. That's why our friendship is so special, because, and it's crazy that she's on this show right now, because I first witnessed microaggressions at work through her going natural.
Yeah, it went from like the discomfort of not knowing how to tell me to call somebody, or maybe if they had appointment slips, like the nervousness, the whole vibe of like how we communicated was just really awkward. And I couldn't put my finger on it because, I mean, I'm still like, I don't know what's going on.
They were acting like they were scared of her.
They were.
As soft-spoken, like, she's really this soft-spoken in real life, and very unintimidating as her presence. Like, she comes to you as an angel, okay? She lives up to her name, really. And they were literally, like, shaking around the office like she was just going to whoop out and be like, pow, Black power, or something like that. Like, crazy.
No, seriously, I remember asking Dana a lot of times, being like, did I do something? So, like, I'm really sensitive to make sure how I, like, and impose myself on people. And so I'm like, am I tripping? Like, Dana, did I do something wrong? Like, what's, you know? And yeah, Dana would be like, girl, you ain't did nothing.
They would say things like, oh, you changed your hair. That's interesting. So what does it do? How does it do that?
Right.
Okay. Oh, can I touch it? Can I touch it?
It's like, no, sis, you can't. You couldn't touch it before. You can't touch it now. So...
Yeah, it was very, very, very strange.
Yeah, I even remember a situation with one of the PhD students that was interning there, and she was actually a minority as well. And just, it was just such an interesting dynamic. Granted, she was of Indian culture, I believe, but she had said something, I think it was to the sense of like a comment about me not washing my hair every day or something like that. But you're like a whole PhD psychology student, like probably in your second or third term or in your schooling. And it's just like, you really didn't think that was inappropriate. And I just remember going through the process with our executive director at the time, and they hit me with that question where it was just like, where they devalue our experiences. And she's like, do you think you're taking this personal? Do you really think she really meant it that way? And that was just one of those moments where I was, and of course she cried. I didn't think her tears meant that much, honestly, but what I realized in that second was that I know we always talk about the Becky tears, but I think those tears go beyond. We just sit at we're at the bottom of everything, you know what I mean? So upon her tears, I remember the executive director really just really devaluing my experience and being like, I don't know if she really meant it that way. Do you think you're overreacting? And so it just really like was like a second trauma, you know what I mean?
Right. And they didn't do anything to rectify the situation. They basically made it like, you know, you're tough, you know, don't take it that way. Let's move on. Ha ha. Yeah. You know what I wonder? I wonder if they still are like that. I realized that this happened a long, long time ago. This was my early 20s, 2007, 2008. Mm-hmm. So I wonder how much they have grown since then. Because even her approaching it like that, even her addressing it with you that way was completely inappropriate.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know. Because I think I actually looked them up not too long ago, and some of the same people are still there. And I mean, I know people have the ability to grow, but from what we saw when we were there, I don't really see that.
And we tried so hard, like with those kids, we know when they were going back in those therapy sessions, not being probably really hurt, not being related to more than likely. Like they would come out of their sessions with the kids and complain about something that was totally black. But they didn't understand it. And they would just be like, Tyrell, I don't really understand. And, you know, they were so passive aggressive with it. They would almost tell us a little bit about what's going on with their client just so they can get our black ass perspective, which was fucked up.
Exactly. I'm not going to help you therapy my people. And then honestly, what you're telling them is actually wrong. It was so many cultural dynamics that was so twisted.
That's a lot. Like, that's giving me anxiety just thinking. I wouldn't need to go to therapy. Not there, though. I wouldn't need to go to a black therapist. Because, first of all, how dare her diminish how you felt about that situation? Like, because if that was her, or if that was anybody, if that was any other white Sarah or Ashley at that company, and, you know, they felt like we did something to them, it would be like, oh, my God. They wouldn't be saying, oh, do you really think she meant it that way? Like, girl, goodbye, good riddance. And white people always use us to figure they work out. Like, that's why I don't understand why every white person is in a leadership role, because you coming to me asking me about what you should know.
Ooh, if you could see my hand up in the air right now.
Like, I didn't go to school to be a therapist. You did. So, you know what I mean? Like, and then to know that they would come out and then come to you guys and kind of, you know, like you said, just complain about it. Like, damn, I'm over here trying to spill out my heart to you, and this is how you feel about me? I mean, not that it's just crazy. And that's even more reason why we should all go to black therapists, because they know what we go through. They know the issues, you know, in our communities. And, you know, I just don't see them going out. And that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot.
Come on, Pastor Nessa.
It actually altered. That whole experience altered my career, actually. I went from being a psychology undergrad to being like, you know what? I want to do social work, because I basically wanted to like heal the whole person, right? Because psychology just really, I realized they were just really looking at the brain concepts, and they weren't really like understanding the cultural aspects. They didn't really care. They just wanted to see, can we minimize these behaviors? You're cured, or you're minimally, you know, treated and push you on. But I also struggled too, because I want to get more into mental health, of course, with our people. But I can't get with the DSM-4, like the diagnoses and stuff like that. Like, I read it all the time. I just actually passed my license, preliminary license last year. But it was a struggle for me because there's so many condescending diagnoses that honestly we fit in. But it's not because we have mental health issues. It's because it's built in our culture.
Exactly.
This is just saying, this is going back to what we were talking about earlier. systematic things that are happening that we can't, like, literally, if you're reading a textbook or a test or whatever, and it's saying, oh, well, they do this, and then, so because of that, they have a mental issue. No, like, this conversation is just changing my whole perspective. So it's just, wow.
Yeah. And can I mention, really quick, we have two Clark Atlanta alumna in the building.
Wait a minute. Girl, you did not tell me she went to Clark Atlanta CAU. Hold on, baby.
Yes.
Come on.
And actually, Angel was the first person that I ever knew to go to a HBCU, which is crazy, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I mean, I didn't know a lot of people that went to, I mean, I didn't know anybody that went to HBCU, but Drumline changed my whole mind, Chad. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm about to go be on the Essence and everything.
Listen, it took me two times. I got it right the third time. So that's how I got the Clark.
Okay, awesome. Well, hey, girl. Hey. Hopefully I'll see you at homecoming if we ain't.
Right.
So anyway, Angel, enough about them, because we literally have stories for days. I'm talking about, oh my God, just so much stuff. And maybe we can even go back to that, but you know, we're on a time limit. So talk about the work that you're doing now. Like you were starting to say, you changed your direction due to that job and got into social work. So what has that experience been like for you since you left St. Louis and went to Clark and decided to be a social worker?
So even from my internship experience, it's very interesting how that same concept of the company is really embedded into even in my internships I did, even several of the jobs I've had in the past. It always became a point, and I think maybe it's because I do come off really soft-spoken. So I'm really soft-spoken, but if people really knew my internal, they'll be like, that bitch is crazy. Like, I have that inner aggression, but I guess I know how to formulate it and pose it where I guess white people don't feel as offended, so to speak.
Pisces gang.
So they always come and they kind of ask me and they try to make me that token, so to speak. But I would definitely say that social work here in Atlanta, period, has just been quite different than what I experienced at the company. And it's been really good, don't get me wrong. But I also think being here in Atlanta, it's that Black Mecca, right? But then at the same time, we do have some of us that get higher up. They kind of adopt that sharecropper, slave, supervisor type of mentality. I think that has probably been like my biggest struggle, to be honest, just because that's not what I'm doing. I'm not into oppressing my people. So I've actually shifted jobs quite frequently. Praise God that he's kept me covered, because integrity is big for me, you know. And what I'm not going to do is oppress people on the backs of making a white man happy, or just to say that their company numbers hit or whatever, you know, outcomes they're trying to get. But that's been the biggest struggle where I am now. I will say it's very diverse. I really do appreciate the people that I work around. It's still systematic oppression in there. That thing look a little different though, where I'm at now. But I don't know. It's been a learning experience, and it's actually like molding me even more so into like entrepreneurship and just kind of figuring out, because I do think we need a lot more of for us by us to heal us, you know, and that's basically the cause and the movement that I've learned from the company. I've really taken that piece of being that voice and trying to figure out how do we heal our people, because some of us don't even know we sick, child. They just out here doing whatever. And, you know, I'm all about loving us as a people. We so dang on colorful. I don't know any other culture where people cop everything we do. We can make anything a fad. Like, it's just who we are as a people. So
that's right. Hallelujah.
You know, it surprises me that there's so many Uncle Ruckuses in Atlanta. Like, what? Like,
that's a good one.
The Black Mecca?
Girl, yes. My first job in Atlanta, it was Uncle Tom, child. And that's the reason why I chunk the deuces at that job. When I graduated, I was like, oh no, I ain't about to be dealing with this. I actually forgot about that. He was, yeah. I think a lot of people in Atlanta are, it's like everybody trying to be somebody. So it's like whatever you can do to, I don't know. So yeah, it's there too, which is shocking because that's Chocolate City, child.
Yes. And it hit me like a ton of bricks because I didn't really see that coming. I guess I was just so focused on looking at the white people that I forgot that, you know, they got supervisors and management getting promoted. You know what I mean?
So what other work have you done outside of, you know, your regular 9 to 5?
So again, I think like, I don't know, I'm such a free spirit. So I just don't want to help people, right? And in this whole like pandemic, it really has kind of supported me really just wanting to all things like from health, my physical health, from things spiritually, mentally, like the whole mind, body and soul type concept. So I honestly just recently just kind of took on an entrepreneurial role with a health company that I am definitely really enjoying. I'm really enjoying, you know, the product line. I'm really enjoying like how it's making me feel and how it is ultimately just even helping my family. Cause I think right now in the pandemic, like y'all said a little bit before, we don't know if it's coming or going. We don't know the layers of what it looked like. One minute you tell us stay in the house, sick and shut in. The next second, oh my God, the strands are weakening or whatever may be going on. So the only thing, the best thing we can do right now is just really build our immune systems and just be our best selves. So that's pretty much one of the main things that I'm doing right now. Just trying to live through example and help, you know, connect people with different things that can ultimately help them build their immune system and stay healthy.
That's awesome.
I told y'all she was an angel.
I just love her and her voice. And yeah.
I know she has a spirit where people just gravitate towards her, but she don't fuck with people. And no, I'm just playing.
No, that's so real. So real. I think because the people that I do let in, like Dana, for instance, like, we don't have to talk every day. We don't have to be on each other's social media. I can miss a heart or a post or whatever. But she know what we have is, like, real. You know, we can talk, and then it felt like we were, like, back in 2008 or something like that. So, I don't know. Folks, man, it's a lot of clingy folk out here.
So, Angel, is there anything else you wanted to say, you wanted to mention? Have you been protesting virtually or out in the streets? Like, what have you been doing now that, you know, our world has been flipped upside down yet again? And what advice or, you know, words of affirmation could you give to the people? since you're so angelic. No, I'm just kidding.
No, honestly, this has been like really different for me because I think Trayvon Martin was like the first situation because my birthday's in February and his death was actually right in my midst of my birthday celebration. And for some reason, it really hit me hard. And so that was my first time really going out and marching down at the Capitol. In this season, it's been interesting because I'm somebody mama now. So for me, I look at it differently because I was kind of lost for a second because I definitely wanted to be an activist. I wanted to be a part of everything. But at the same time, I can't just run downtown and, you know, we see on TV every day that the cops are absolutely using force. And I can't take my son to help him understand that this is what being Black in America looks like because my son is 6. But I absolutely... there's a transition happening that's very sad and it touches my heart because he's so innocent right now. But if we are in a climate where I have to have those conversations very soon. We actually kind of start them now. He has to understand that there are people that do not like us on the basis of our color. And that's taking the sense of innocence away that I'm really struggling with because he's 6, you know what I mean? But what I have learned through social media, it's been pretty dope because, I mean, we have Instagram, we have Facebook, and we definitely have a lot of virtual activism that's happening. So I've definitely joined that heavy. I try to like repost stuff or even on my page, just kind of help link people to certain things. Like even when you were talking about Breonna Taylor earlier, like there's things that people can do. I mean, everybody's not going to be in the streets marching and everything like that. And I think like we should be okay with it. You know what I mean? And just own a piece of it. We may have some people that's out here that's going to be activists on the streets protesting, but we have people that can be making phone calls. I mean, there's a lot of different things that we can do. And I know like public figures like Amanda Seales, she does a lot. And she absolutely puts things on here. She gives you step by step what you can do. So, I mean, I would definitely encourage everybody, if you want to be a part, but you really maybe even be scared to go out, there's things you can do. It absolutely is. We all have a role that we have to play. So yeah, for me, I think it's definitely been the virtual activism and making these phone calls and signing these petitions.
Same. And I'm also putting my money where my mouth is. I've been donating to different civil rights groups that support our cause, that support the bail fund. The bail fund got so big, they stopped accepting donations because they had so much money to get people out, which was amazing.
That's like,
yes, a big blessing. So like, but yeah, putting my money where my mouth is. I'm not frequenting any of these companies that continue to oppress us. Wendy's CEO made a $400,000 donation to Trump's campaign. I'm like, oh, fuck nah. Because I just found out that they breakfast hit. But they did say Wendy's official Twitter account did come back and say that wasn't true, but I don't know. I'm gonna have to do some more research on that. But yeah, virtual activism, putting your money where your mouth is, circulating black dollars. If you need some makeup, go to a black makeup supplier. You need jewelry, a black jewelry supplier. If you need clothes, like put money in our communities so that we, because back in the day at Tulsa, they burnt us down because there was something that they can see, but they can't burn down your website. You know, they can't burn down your change.org petition. They can't do any of that shit. So right now is the time for people to mobilize in a different way. And like Angel said, it's different when you're a parent. I thought about going down there, and I actually had a friend that took her son down there, and the girl next to her, not in Dallas, but in St. Louis, the girl next to her got shot with a rubber bullet in her side. And that could have easily been her son. So it's like, what do we can't put our bodies and our lives at risk, you know, from being down there. You know, the police are inciting violence. Now it's time for us to hit them where it hurts. And that's in that commerce. It's going to be the commerce.
Absolutely. I'm in a position now. I am about to open up an account with, I mean, we do have black banks, y'all. I don't know if people really understand that or even really thought about it, but that's also a way. I think you're hitting on hitting it on the head when it comes to economy. We have to definitely make them feel it in their pockets.
Yes, ma'am. And if anybody wants to know, like, how can I find the black company that makes laundry detergent, or how can I find the black nail artist that sells press-ons or whatever, go to our Instagram. I'm sorry, not our Instagram, our Twitter. I'm going to retweet a thread filled with black company, I mean, not black company, well, their companies, black entrepreneurs and their companies, and where you can start circulating our black dollars. Because once we stop hitting up Walmart and shit, once we stop going to Target and going to Ming and them to get our nails and shit done, they gonna make some shit shake. They are going to have to, because they no longer have our money and they need it. They need it. And you know why we know that they need it? Because every time we pull our money for something, what happens? Oh, they change it automatically, or they stop doing it, or they release a statement, you know, to coddle us. But we're hurting their pockets. We're hurting their pockets. And if we continue to do something, we can definitely make some shit shake in America for sure. But we all have to get on code. We got to get on code. We got to get on one accord. We have to be in a position to where we all agree, like, we're going to do this. We can't have 3-4 Uncle Toms over here doing this. No, we all have to be on code. And that's what kind of makes it a little bit a dream, if you will, because we would all have to be on code for us to be able to do this. And you still got Black people out here saying, well, George Floyd, he wrote a bad check, which we found out wasn't true. Like, just being white apologists. So we have a long way to go as a people.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. And we have to be okay, kind of going back to the fuck you. You have to be okay with feeling how you feel. I don't think just because somebody offers you an apology, if you're angry, you're angry. If you feel some kind of way, you feel some kind of way. Sometimes when white people offer us apology, we feel like we need to get over it. And like, you know, okay, well, she said sorry. But we know if it was one of our sisters or brothers, we'll still be rolling our neck and busting our hands out. Like, but no, let me let you know how you really pissed me the hell off, you know? So I think we do have to own our emotions and be okay with that. Because, I mean, this stuff is just, you can't sweep it under the rug. Even when you get the company emails and different things like that, the email don't faze me, to be honest with you. It could be a publicity stunt for all I know. But what are you doing? What are your actions saying?
And shout out to everyone. I'm talking about even the Black beauty community, and Jackie Ina especially has been at the forefront of calling out all of these companies, Fashion Nova, Shein, all these companies that get inspired by Black people and Black culture and Black bodies. Y'all need to not only say something, but initiate change. Where are your CEOs? What your office look like? Do y'all have Black people there? Like, she's been on it. The Black beauty community is on it. Everybody's been on it. And like Anessa said earlier, I think there's a shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Hopefully everybody, like y'all said, keeps protesting. Keep y'all knee on they necks. Mm-hmm. And that's that on that.
Okay. So, Angel, did you want to plug yourself, like your business or your social media? I know you're private, but do you want to, you know, direct the people, you know, to support your entrepreneurial efforts?
Of course, of course. So I do have an Instagram. It's called Fix My Crown. That is FixMyCrWN. That definitely will get you connected with the health and wellness piece, as well as some of the other things that I have going on.
Yay. Well, thank you so much, Angel, for coming to talk with us and being on our show today. I'm so happy to have you here. If you can't tell.
No, it's my pleasure. Like, I love what y'all doing. I've even told some of my coworkers, I'm like, damn, they be saying the shit I be wanting to say. And then even as I, you know, being a guest on, I'm like, dang, Angel, how I'm going to say this, how I'm going to do this. So, no, I really appreciate it. I think what y'all doing is really awesome. So thank you for giving us a voice, y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Angel. All right, let's break.
It's time for the break room.
It's the break room. It's the break room. What your room do? Girl, we finna spill all the tea.
Hey, it's the break room.
What's your break room?
You know what? I'm asking y'all virtually, and I hope y'all are screaming at me through the microphone or through the phone, like, yes. Cause Insecure last Sunday was just like, it was everything. Like, did you watch it, Dana?
Okay, so I watched the first 15 minutes, but I heard that it was the best episode they had put out.
The best episode.
So what happened?
So, like, it's like a whole, does Lawrence and Issa have a chance? Like, oh my God. So y'all, okay, the last episode that we watched before this one, it ended at, you know, Lawrence, he saw Molly in the airport and, you know, it was kind of like an awkward thing. And he was like, all right, whatever, see you later. Lawrence walks out of the airport and gets on the phone and was like, hey, I've been thinking about you. Like, can we meet? So our minds could only wonder, like, who is he talking to? Is he talking about Condola? Is he talking about Issa? So, of course, you know, they play the what's going to happen next. And you see that Issa's going to meet with him. So the episode comes on, y'all. It starts off funny. And let me just say, the writing on this episode, the camera angles, the direction, it was just like Black magic. Like, I was just like, I was appalled at what I was watching. It was like my eyes were just like, you know, like big and just like bright. Like, it was just so good. And it felt so good in this time to feel, you know what I'm saying? Like, you belong, or I don't know. It just gave you some type of sense of like, yes, I don't know. But anyway, so Issa walks in, child, she falls. I don't know if y'all saw that.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's like, okay, you know, Lawrence, what you bring me here for? Like, what's up? And so basically they have this long overdue conversation about how they ended and what really happened and what was going on in the relationship. And I won't give all of that. I'll let you watch it. But they talked about it. And at the end of the night, it was like a date almost. At the end of the night, they ended up having sex.
Oh, I did not know.
Yes. And so basically, you know, the night ended and it ended really well. Issa walked in on, she went up to Lawrence's apartment to see it or whatever. And she was like, can I go to the bathroom? He goes in outside on the patio and was talking to Condola. And he was like, yeah, we can go ahead and meet up. Issa heard him on the phone. And so she was like, was that Condola? Y'all still whatever? And he was like, yeah. She was like, so you gonna go meet her? And he was like, yeah, whatever. So Issa getting ready to walk out the door and she does what every woman, I feel like, should do in a situation, but we don't because we're like scared of rejection. She was like, she turned around and was like, what if I wanted to stay? And he said, you know,
baby, hey, see my face.
Baby, what? He said, stay. She made the first move, made a kiss, and it was just, I said, what Condola, bro?
Okay.
Condola who? Okay.
Okay.
So they wake up together and, you know, he went in the beginning of their meeting up, he was like, you know, he was in San Francisco, which is why he couldn't come to her block party. And so she was like, what you doing out there? And he was like, you know, he's trying to get a job. So they wake up together and she's like, so San Francisco? So we don't know. And it just, she leaves and she walks to her apartment because they find out that they don't live too far from each other. So it's just like, they left us on like, oh my gosh, like what's going to happen? Like, what is he going to do? Cause I mean, it just felt like old times. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking like I'm in the situation. It was really good.
It sounds good. I can't wait to finish it. I kind of figured they might have, you know, possibly did something, but I was rooting for them. Like, ever since they broke up in season one, was it? I was like, I can't wait for them to get back together. So the only reason, and this might be my just maybe pessimistic thinking about it, the only reason why I'm not that excited about them getting back together is because I, like, what else, where does the story go then?
True.
Like, and then will the plot be interesting enough for us to continue watching as they, you know, get married and have, I'm sure it would be because they're such good writers, but like, I feel like Issa is the type of creator to shut it down before it gets bad.
Correct.
And she probably would be like, okay, this is how my story ends. Next. And she, and Issa has already told us she do not give a fuck about us loving Insecure. If she want to take 2-year break, bitch, she taking 2-year break. So I feel like if her and Lawrence get back together, she probably going to be like, okay, that's it.
Yeah, I agree. I feel just like you. I agree totally. I feel like, is this the end of Insecure? Because she might just be like, you know, this is the end of the story, like you said. But at the same time, I want to see them together. But at the same time, I love Insecure. But, you know, I don't know. It's just, the writers are so good. I don't know what happened, but it's coming on tomorrow. By this time, we would have already watched it, but we'll talk about it next week. Anyways, speaking of Insecure, we didn't talk about Molly because we still ain't fucking with Molly, but we are fucking with Yvonne Orji. I think that's how you say her name.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, she has an HBO comedy stand-up special Saturday, which is today, June 6th. It comes on tonight at 10 p.m. Y'all, it looks, if you watch Insecure, like the on HBO, the commercials that come on, the previews that come on for it, it looks really good. And I like her. I really like her a lot. And Issa likes her. I think they've been knowing each other since like 2008 for a long time. So if y'all can, please watch that. She's really funny in real life. So obviously. Also, did y'all see Amanda Seals did not renew her contract with The Real?
Yeah, you know what? I figured how long is that going to last because I feel like Amanda is too real for The Real. Like, The Real ain't really real. They real fake.
Correct.
Girl, I have such issue with all of them. I could just go down the line. Like, I used to watch that so religiously. I used to record it and watch it when I got home from work. But now, like, y'all keep y'all topics PC. Y'all don't be talking about shit. Y'all are hella tone deaf when it comes to race relations, despite the fact that all of y'all are women of color. And I just felt like, I feel like Amanda was just too real for them from the get-go. Lonnie used to say huge problematic shit about black men, especially on that show. And I used to say, I wonder if she's gonna say that shit in front of Amanda Seale. She hasn't, because, you know, y'all would have been seeing the read. But I felt like she was too real for that show anyway.
Very. Yeah, I feel like they were all walking on eggshells around her because they know that she would get all of them in place. I feel like this ain't gonna last long because Amanda gonna get all y'all together, especially when we talking about black folks, because she gonna advocate for us from the beginning to the end. And I think she did say that she didn't feel like her message was able to get across, but you can go see, she made a Instagram story or a live about it, and you can see why she decided not to renew our contract.
Yeah, they probably silenced her. I mean, they probably told her, oh, you can't say that. You can't be this way. And who want to live their life like that? Especially somebody like Amanda Seales, who is used to saying what the fuck she wants, you know?
Yeah, and she has podcasts, Small Doses. She has a lot of stuff going on where she don't have to do that. So, and she's not upset about not renewing her contract. So she's very happy about it, obviously. So good luck to Amanda. I told y'all about The Chi last season. Yeah, we were talking about it. I told y'all to catch up because a new season is about to come out. Yes, and I cannot wait. Y'all know I love The Chi. And a lot of celebrities are appearing. Y'all know Candy from Housewives of Atlanta. She's going to be on there. I think she might have a recurring role, or she did. Y'all know she talked about it a lot on Housewives of Atlanta this season, that she was, you know, doing The Chi and trying to juggle being a mom and trying to juggle being a good wife or whatever, because she was out recording The Chi. So she's going to be on there. And Lala is also appearing. I'm sure they're going to have a lot of other celebrities, but make sure y'all watch that. It comes on June 21st. It appears on Showtime. So I know we got all these subscriptions, HBO, Showtime. Chad, if you like me, I call AT&T and be like, look, I need HBO. Once Insecure is over, I call and I say, I don't want HBO no more.
Or like me, you could just use your friend's dad's login.
Hey, do that. But on to New Music Friday. A lot of artists have joined the Need for a Change movement within music this week, because all of the songs that have come out have been about police brutality and equality and how they just don't like black folks. Trey Songz came out with a song called 2020 Riots. How many times? That's actually a really good song. Meek Mill came out with a song as well, Other Side of America. And in the beginning of that song, he plays, have you heard it?
Yes.
He plays Trump's little snippet about how he's talking about what I said earlier.
Yeah, I mean, and shout out to Meek Mill. He's one of my favorite rappers, top 10. I don't like that song, though.
I heard it, but I didn't hear anything that related to what was going on. But I mean, maybe I blanked out.
You probably did.
Okay. Okay.
Because, I mean, you wouldn't really, I hate to say it, but you wouldn't really listening to the shit. I feel like he could have saved that one. Okay. And there might be some people out there that rock with it. I didn't care for it.
Well, YG also came out with a song called FTP, which I love the acronym, but it stands for Fuck the Police.
Of course.
And that one, it's got really you know, he from LA, so it's got that.
Shout out to Compton.
Right. NWA and EB. Okay. T Grizzly featuring Queen Naja came out with a song called Mr. Officer, which is really good. I love it. Y'all listen to that song. Have you heard that song, Dana?
No.
Okay. T Grizzly featuring Queen Naja is called Mr. Officer. It's a really you know how they had those choirs in the background. So yeah, that's also about police brutality as well. And then on to not police brutality, Lil Wayne came out with a song with Tory Lanez called Help. I kind of tuned out at that song too, so I guess it wasn't that good.
So it's not about police brutality?
It's not about police brutality, but those other songs that I mentioned are. So
what he need help with?
Child, look, like I said, I blanked out. I listened to the song Tory Lanez is on the hook. You know what? And y'all correct me if I'm wrong. It might be about police brutality, but the other songs stuck out with, you know, what about my brother? What about my uncle? Like, this song, I don't know. I think he just came out with something he need help with, but I don't know. have you been listening to any new music, Tana?
No, I've been listening to my old shit, guys. Okay. So this week I've been jamming to my girl Yeba. Have you ever heard of her?
Yes, I have. But I haven't listened to her song.
Okay. So, guys, if you want to change your music life, go on YouTube right now and Google. I mean, not go on YouTube and Google. Oh my God. Go on YouTube and search. Go on YouTube and search Yeba, My Mind. The song is called My Mind, and her name is spelled Y-E-B-B-A. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful voice and songstress. She's actually from West Memphis, Arkansas. So she has like this little, she's white, but she has this like little soul something to her voice. And you can't put your finger on it. But when I tell you, this woman can sing her ass off. So she came out with some new music. I've been listening to mostly her old stuff like that and Evergreen. But she came out with some new music recently. Her new album is called Distance. And it's going to be released this year, but it hasn't been released yet. So my bad. But she is such a good singer, y'all. Like, if y'all love singing and singers, you would love Yeba.
Oh, okay. Well, I got to listen to her because I love that.
Did you zone out when you heard her the first time?
No, I've never heard her song, but I've seen her on like, on, you know, Spotify and stuff, but I just never click on her music.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just never clicked on it, but I've seen her name come up. And speaking of another white artist that, y'all, I love Katy Perry. Do you like Katy Perry?
Girl, I'm finna hang up on you.
Well, I love Katy Perry's music. Let me correct that. I love her music.
I'm just playing.
I like pop. If y'all like pop records, y'all know I like Ariana Grande. I like Katy Perry. I'm trying to think about whoever. I might have another one, but I love Katy Perry. She has a new song called Daisies. I feel like Katy Perry comes out with songs that like build you up like firework or, you know, like inspiring songs. And Daisies is that. Y'all know Katy Perry is pregnant right now too. So, which is another, I didn't know that until recently. But yeah, she also, if y'all on y'all pop shit, you know, listen to Katy Perry's Daisies. But that's about it. But that's all I have for the break room.
All right, y'all. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And shout out to the beautiful Miss Angel Robinson for coming to be on the show with us today. Shout out to y'all. Shout out to y'all out there in the streets protesting virtually, online, on foot. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. We know why y'all are doing this. We see y'all. Y'all lives matter. All of our lives matter. Again, happy Pride Month. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, y'all. Love y'all. Stay safe.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.